This morning, the sermon is about something interesting we think about, but we don't really do much about it. You know, it's on about wisdom. And I think wisdom is a topic that gets overlooked a lot of times in the pulpit as well as in the congregation. You know, recently a survey was done with a group of children, and this is how they responded to the question, what is wisdom? Gerard, age 9, said, wisdom is wearing a hat while feeding seagulls. Betty, age 12, says, never ask for anything that costs more than $5 when your parents are doing taxes. Chad, age 11, said, don't ever get too full for dessert. And Linda, a seasoned teenager, says, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer back. It has been said that if advice giving worked, we wouldn't need therapists or marriage counselors, and pastoral advice from the clergy would seem to be almost irrelevant too. Just think of the great insights that we've given our family or friends when they've gotten into a jam, been misunderstood, or simply mess up. And they sound appreciative at the time, and then they say something like this to the effect, oh, you just don't understand. Or, other hand, that would never work for me. Don't you just love when you get responses like that? Maybe it sounds like they really get it, but then they choose an alternative. People think of wisdom as somehow the purveyor of knowledge. But wisdom and knowledge are not quite the same. Wisdom guides us on how we live, quite different from the facts and figures we learn, or even how we interpret those facts and figures. However, wisdom doesn't guarantee that we won't make mistakes or become perfect. The story of King Solomon seeking wisdom over material wealth is over 3,000 years old. Why is this included in the Bible, and what does this have to do with us as churchgoers? Solomon was inspired by this revelation from God. Solomon could have just sat back and enjoyed the benefits of all God's gifts to him, but he sought to worship God even more sincerely. He didn't take God for granted. Solomon stood before the great Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments, and dedicated sacrificial offerings by showing gratitude to God. As a point of fact, wisdom will bring us closer to God with joyful results, as it did with King Solomon. Wisdom enlightened Solomon when he worshiped God, and God graciously received the praise. Solomon was also encouraged in his faith based on worship. You know, if only people today applied Solomon's prescription for seeking God through worship and wisdom, it would be wonderful. You know, there is a New Testament follow-up. It's not mentioned bluntly, but it's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25. It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some. Why? Because when we don't attend church, there will be something lacking which affluency cannot fulfill. When we gather together, we reverently worship God through hymns and prayers and listen to the word of God that is pleasing to the Lord and in genuine and beneficial fellowship. Experiencing these ingredients of worship should bring us to church more often. I don't know about you, but when we were exclusively on Zoom, it was nice to see everybody, but it wasn't the same, was it, than being together in the same place, together in communion. You know, I think the Creed says the communion of saints. And that was something I missed, and I'm sure you all missed it too, because there is a rapport, there is a connection we make with each other. And that's an important thing, and that's why people should come to church. It fuels their faith. It really does. Now, am I saying you can't worship God, say, out on the out at the football stadium or maybe driving? No, you can worship God anywhere. But to come together in corporate worship is so important. And, you know, and King Solomon knew what he was speaking about. Believing God and seeking to please God is guided by His wisdom. It's not about feeling guilty or embracing some current fad. It's about nurturing a more meaningful faith through active participation in church. And wisdom invites us to that place where we may involve ourselves with God's creation in the world we live. But the question is, how is it done? Well, being wise is a great and even profound idea, but listen for instruction from God, and God may even use a person of faith to teach us about heavenly wisdom. Never rule out somebody coming into your life that God may have sent. But then God may send wisdom direct to you. You remember the story happened to King Solomon? The two women came, and they were fussing over a newborn baby. One of them had smothered the baby by accident, slept on top of it, and it died. And so she was diabolical enough, she switched babies and tried to convince the other woman that that was her dead baby, but it wasn't. So they came to King Solomon to seek justice. And King Solomon was hearing the pleas of both of those women. And Solomon says, well, I know how to take care of it. So he says, get my sword. And he said, bring the baby here, and said, I'll divide it between the two of you. Now, that sounds kind of gruesome to us today in the 21st century and kind of radical, but we know what Solomon was up to. And the woman screamed, that said, no, give her the baby. I don't want it to. And the other woman said, no, divide it between us. And that's when Solomon said, that baby belongs to that woman that said, give it to her. Solomon used wisdom and practicality. I'm not saying hopefully none of us will ever have that decision to make like Solomon did, but you think about that. Without God's wisdom, Solomon would not have been directed to do the things he did. And you know, he was the most wealthy ruler ever before or during his reign or after his reign. No one to this day has ever come to the wealth of King Solomon. Even the shields of the temple were made out of solid gold. When was the last time you've seen anything in solid gold, even in a church house? So that goes to show you that God blessed Solomon so much. Well, we know later on Solomon got swayed in his heart by about 700 women, but that's another story and another sermon unto itself. But Solomon, for a long time, focused his attention upon God. Let us keep focusing our attention upon God. Let us not get distracted by other things. You know, there's so many things, and you know, just think about it today, there's even more things to be distracted than 3,000 years ago. But we must keep the focus up on God. That is the most important thing we could do. And to seek wisdom is something that, as I said, it's not learned. It's actually given to us. Some people have it a lifetime, some never get it. But always be ready to learn by understanding that a word to the wise is sufficient. You know, that's a paraphrase, don't you? Actually, it's taken out of Proverbs chapter 9. It says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Throughout the Bible, it speaks about attaining wisdom, and it's for our well-being. It's not for us to flaunt around and not for us to promenade over other people, make us superior by no means. It is to help us. It's a foundation of our faith to help us cope with what's going on in life. You know, recently I preached some sermons on the sacraments, you remember, of the Lord's Supper and baptism. And those in attendance on that first Sunday of this month, you may remember, participated in the Lord's Supper. But you know, through that sacrament, we experience a spiritual depth that money cannot buy. It is that God became an integral part of us in a spiritual way, and we divine wisdom will define our lives as people of faith. Think about that. As people of faith, if we will look and see how our faith can be used to attain more wisdom, and we are an intimate part of God's creation, we in Him and He in us. And it is in claiming that intimacy that we not only are assured of eternal life, but that the life may be a wisdom-filled experience. Think about that. Do you want a wisdom-filled experience, wisdom-filled life? It's never too late. You know, I've met young people who are full of wisdom. I've met older people who are full of wisdom. Why? Because the Lord blessed them so well. But you know, I'll leave you something for this week. I'm going to leave you a Bible verse for this week. And think about it. You all know it. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So you, if my dad would say bumfuzzled about something, or you reach a stumbling block, you don't know what to do, ask God for it. You know, I've told you in the past sometimes when I lose things, I sort of say a quick prayer. And God comes, most of the time it happens very quickly. But most of the time, and I'm going to say this, I have to go searching on my own. And guess what? I usually never find it. But as soon as I ask God to pray, and you say, well, that's being a little trite with God, isn't it? I don't think so. God wants us to ask Him for small things as well as big things. Am I using God like a slot machine? No, I'm not. Because we all need God. What's the thing about it? I say this, it's because I'm a big coward when it comes to standing on my own two feet. I need God's assurance and strength and support for myself. So remember, know your limitations. Know where you are and ask God to help you out when you need it. And if you're like me, you need help quite often. So please never forget that scripture verse, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's out of James 1:5. And believe me, God will grant you and give you the wisdom. And you never know who may need to, you can share your wisdom with others to help them, to guide and lead them. And always say, God provided it, I didn't. So God will help us if we will only call upon Him. Let us pray. Oh Lord, today as we come together in this next to the last Sunday of the month, we like to think that we've figured everything out, but we know that's not true. We need You, and we need Your guidance in our lives. Help us, oh Lord, when we fall short of wisdom, because You have an eternal fount of wisdom just to give to us. Help us out, oh Lord. Yes, help us out. Solomon needed help. So we need help too. Guide and lead us, O Lord, through the Holy Spirit, and let us show forth Your greatness as we live our lives in our community. We pray this through the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.